This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
We're here with State Senator Scott Bennett, and Scott has defeated A.J. Ruggieri tonight. Congratulations on your win.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
I wanted to ask you about the campaign season that we just went through. Obviously, the primary, which you didn't have a primary opponent, that was relatively normal. And then the pandemic hit in March. Everything changed. And I know you are precinct committeeman and Champaign just elected in March, and so you've been active in the campaign probably for a lot of your other fellow Democrats in Champaign County. How's this been?
Well, I think what we're seeing is people are getting more and more polarized. So in the Democratic primaries, we're seeing a lot of long-term moderate, at least in Champaign County, long-term moderate Democrats getting defeated by younger, more progressive Democrats. But we're also seeing that in the Republican Party. Mary Miller is a great example, defeating Darren Duncan and some others that are, you know, well-known and more moderate. Right now, in a primary in particular, the people that are going to the polls tend to be those on the more extreme sides of each party. What we're also seeing, though, is that kind of translating into the general and people, I think, looking for those candidates to speak to their strongest partisan urges.
Yeah. I've always kind of thought of you as kind of maybe bridging the gap between the cities and the rural area. Your district represents a lot of that. Yeah. It represents Vermilion County, strong farming background, pretty Republican area. And then you also got Carol Ammon's district in there, and that's very, very Democrat. So you kind of represent the both sides of the aisle.
I sure try. And I will tell you, I mean, in Springfield, it's a bit of a joke with some of the leaders, because if you're a downstater, you typically have a very solid Republican district like Senator Chapin Rose or Berrickman, where you never have to worry about, you know, a Democrat. Or if you're in the Chicago area, you've got the exact opposite issue, right? But you're exactly right. I've got a college town in Champaign-Urbana that trends very left, but then I've got 22 smaller towns and, you know, that are much more conservative. How do you have, you know, Carol Ammons on one side, Mike Maron on the other side, and try to make people happy? It can be very difficult. What we try to do is just make sure you're at least explaining your votes and you're calling people back and you're understanding that, you know, you're going to upset a good deal of your constituents with whatever you decide on a bill. But the least we could do is give people a chance to explain there why they agree or disagree with us before the vote. And then afterwards, we do a lot of town halls and get out and talk to them. So I don't think a lot of people do that. I think it makes for better legislators. I mean, when you see these gentrified districts that are all one thing or the other, all you got to worry about is the primary. In our case, you're always going to have a Republican opponent and a Democratic opponent. And, you know, I think ultimately that helps you kind of speak to all your constituents.
What are some of the main issues that you're hearing from voters in your district, their main concerns? I imagine the coronavirus and the economic fallout is probably at the top of the list there.
It is if you looked at the list and if you'd asked me the same question in January, there'd be very little overlap, right? Because we were getting to a point where we'd come a couple of years out of the impasse when we came into the session in the spring of 20. There were a lot of things that were, I think, looking positive for the state. They were talking about putting money away in a rainy day fund and obviously making sure the pensions continued on the right trajectory. And then the COVID hits, and then suddenly you have a huge drop-off in sales taxes at the same time that every municipality in my district now has to spend all this extra money to, I mean, is the stuff you don't even think about. When they have to clean a city council, you know, chamber, now they have to sanitize so much more than they used to. Of course, so they had to invest in a lot more technology for Zoom meetings and things like that. So it's, I think what we're going to have to deal with a lot is figuring out, all right, what's the next year look like if we continue on this path? If you listen to the doctors, many of them have said, even if we get in the first quarter a vaccine in 2021, we're going to be doing a lot of the same things we're doing now in the third and fourth quarter of 2021, because the vaccine doesn't happen overnight and doesn't get spread around overnight. So if that's the case, how are we going to make sure that people are still shopping locally? How are we going to make sure that sales tax stays up? How are we going to be helping out local counties and municipalities? And, you know, let's talk about schools just by themselves. I mean, I have 14 different school districts in this district. No two do this exactly the same way. Some are doing all online. Some are doing in person. And they honestly haven't gotten, in my opinion, the direction they need from Springfield and from the doctors there to say, hey, this is what the best science is telling us. Now we have the benefit of months more of research and of testing. And so hopefully we'll be able to give educators and the families of small kids, like I have two first graders in my house, they need a lot more direction and stability going forward as well.
Now, I know Pritzker has talked a lot about the federal bailout, which they're hopeful if the Democrats can take back the Senate and the White House, they'd be able to do that. Barring, you know, something happening going the other direction, what would the solution be? Or could we reach that point even before January, before the Senate would flip?
Well, so you get three issues really, right? You have, it's the perfect storm in Illinois, because you have obviously the sales tax drop off with COVID. When you shut down all the businesses for months and months, you have the progressive tax, which is on the ballot today, but it'll be a few weeks before you know if that passes or not, because there's a lot of mail-in ballots that still need to be counted. And then, of course, the federal money. There's a lot of, we all understand the stimulus money from the checks that came out in the spring, but there's also a huge pot of money that's been discussed that should go to states, counties, and municipalities. And I think most people recognize, hey, we all send a lot of money to Washington, D.C., and part of the deal is, all right, but when we get in trouble back home, that they work with us to help make sure that our local economies don't crash, because ultimately that's a good investment for them long term. What they did this year was, in the spring, they put together a pretty quick package where they offered very, very low interest loans, and Illinois is taking advantage of those in the budget. But we have not actually borrowed any of that money. We just put in the money in the budget we passed in May that said we could if these other things don't catch up. But really, we need to be talking about, I mean, we all read, if you Google, federal bailouts, huge company, oil companies, and the list is long. I shouldn't pick on any one in particular of groups that get supplemental money from Washington, D.C. It's pretty crazy to think, okay, but why wouldn't Vermilion County also, when they certainly have shelled out a lot of money because of COVID, couldn't they benefit from some funds that would help them get back on the feet? And, shouldn't we make sure some of that money we've sent from Vermilion County to D.C. comes back our way when we have some time of need?
One thing I wanted to ask you about, mostly Vermilion County is staying about the same politically, but they've talked a lot about the suburban vote. And I think Champaign County is a good example of that. Champaign County used to be, they vote for Democrats on the national level, and I'm saying that because that's your home county. Mm-hmm. But locally, they vote for Republicans, or kind of a mix in that sort. We've seen a transformation in the last election, in the midterms, and probably pretty good chance in this election, too, that it will mostly be Democrat. Is that mainly the opposition, do you think, for against voting for Republicans in Champaign County, or do you think there's some other things involved there?
I think as the party, and, it will remain to be seen whether or not, the figurehead of the party, whether it's Joe Biden and the Democratic side or Donald Trump on the Republican side, certainly there in the suburbs, what we've seen is, particularly with female voters, there's been a big backlash against President Trump, and that has gone all the way down the ticket. DuPage County, the bastion of conservatism, three of the four senators that represent DuPage County in 2018 went Democrat. That is, I've got friends who were Republican senators there that when they drew the districts, 10 years ago, long before I got there, they had said to me, look, when that district was drawn, I knew I'd have it for 10 years, or I knew that would, I'd never have to campaign or whatever they said. And then they got beat, 4 years later, which just shows how quickly times can change. I don't know if, once at some point President Trump won't be the president, will areas kind of return back to their old numbers? I don't know, because I think, obviously I don't have a crystal ball, but, what we've seen is as the parties continue to get more and more polar, and the fact that we get our news from such different sources, I think it's harder and harder to see people crossing that over. You made an excellent point. Champaign County has always gone, or at least recently gone, Democratic in presidential races, but they know the local circuit clerk or the sheriff or whoever else. But now it's increasing, and we're seeing that in Vermilion County for the Republicans, where people go, I'm going to go red top to bottom, or I'm going to go blue top to bottom from Champaign County. I don't know. So I don't think it's just the leaders of the party. I also think it's our news sources that only give us snippets, I think, of some of the things going on out there, and kind of continue to push us farther away from each other in the middle. As long as that's where we continue to get our news, I think that you'll see an increased polarization of Illinois politics.
And I guess to go along with that, being in our state now, do you ever think we could heal our divide? Do you think we ever could get back to, say, Illinois in the 1990s or what you hear about in the 80s in Congress?
I sure hope so. And the Congress point is a great one. There were Republican and Democrat Congress people in the 90s even that would talk about, yeah, when they take a break from Congress, they'd carpool back from D.C. to Illinois together. And some of them I've seen, you know, speak on C-SPAN and the like, and they say, I couldn't even be in the car with that person now because I'd be primaried the very next time based on a photo alone. The question is how you get back there. I think most of us, I mean, I know I can't wait to turn on the TV tomorrow and not see commercials just vilifying people and the scary music and the black and white. I was trying to watch, you know, football games with my 6-year-old this weekend, and you know, you could see the anxiety on him as they were saying things about one candidate or another. And I'm thinking, this is silly. I mean, at the end of the day, they're just two people that have a different view of the role of government. That's what this is. And then in this case, I happen to know both candidates, and I'm like, neither one's a bad guy to my son. I'm like, they're just, you know, very different in their partisanship. But I think part of it is us. We're going to have to be able to step back, and whether our news comes from social media or the cable news networks or whatever, and just kind of get a grip ourselves and recognize that, you know, we're being entertained to some degree. This isn't news anymore. It's, you know, you have to believe the other side is evil or sinful or whatever. And both sides, I'll give you a perfect example of this. This morning I made a post on social media about voter protection. And I just put a phone number on. If you see intimidation at polling places, you can call this number and, you know, law enforcement will be notified. And I got an equal number of likes from people on my social media from my far right friends and from my far left friends, because both of them assume I'm talking about the other side, right? Well, the fact is, you know, there's a lot of good people on both sides. But we all have to, I think, police ourselves a little bit and say, just because CNN is saying this or Fox News is saying this doesn't make it so. I mean, we've got a brain in our heads. We should use it.
I know you have to go, but what are your priorities for the next 2 years in the Illinois State Senate?
Well, I think there's no question we have to view everything through the lens of COVID and the COVID recovery. Over here in Vermilion County, where you see businesses just getting back on their feet, and now they had to shut down again. Hopefully it'll be very short-lived. How are we going to make sure we get the resource to these businesses so they stay open? Because if they close, and not only are you dealing with people's life savings being washed away, but when people don't have places they can shop and eat and go with their families, they leave the community. And so there's some concern about that as well in downstate communities. We're going to have to figure out how we're going to get schools and local business the resources they need through this next bumpy few months. And I think that is going to be my priority going back to veto session next week and in the session coming up next year.
Okay. Scott Bennett, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.